6:22 on a Tuesday. Thanks for tuning in. So the governor yesterday announcing his proposal to reform the criminal justice system here in Michigan. You know, we spend $2 billion every year for our state prison budget. Well, is it going to save us any money? And is it a good idea? Lois DeMott, I should say, a member with Citizens for Prison Reform, I believe is pleased with his ideas. Lois, great to have you here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, and you've been, how long have you been dealing with this prison reform issue?
I've been dealing with way back into the juvenile justice system for really about the last 13 years.
13. Did something kind of lead you into it?
Yes, in fact. I used to think you do the crime, you do the time, and then I experienced my son winding up in the system.
What happened to him?
Well, I would just like to say that we have many in our state who suffer from mental illness, and often this is where these people wind up. This is something that we hear about frequently.
Was that the case with your son then?
Yes, that is correct, and he wound up in the system as a juvenile at the age of 15. And was put into our adult system and ended up spending 13 months in solitary confinement segregation.
Wow.
So it's been a very long, horrific road, and I've now dug in and am very passionate about this work, and I currently have a new program, the Family Participation Program, that I've implemented over a year ago through a Soros Fellowship.
Right. Tell me this, that was 13 years ago. What is his condition now, your son's?
He's currently out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that we really need to spend some time focusing on the post-traumatic stress that is created within the system, particularly for those who have disabilities. And when they're placed in long-term segregation and solitary confinement, that leads to post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, as well as veterans who are put into that system, they're suffering.
So you're talking about, and he spent 13 months isolated when he was just in his teens, you said, right?
Inside the system, beginning at the age of 18, correct. And even before that, he had long periods of time where he was isolated. So I think that's one of the things. First of all, I'm amazed, and I am very pleased with the documents that have been produced and what the governor is proposing.
When it comes to those that are mentally ill, those that maybe need to help beyond incarceration, what did he give any indication of what he wants to do?
No, that's one thing that I didn't see mentioned at all during this report. I do know they have a mental health commission. Mm-hmm. I think I am still very concerned about, first of all, making sure that we're keeping our mentally ill out. And I do know that there are mental health courts that are popping up and being piloted across the state. That's very important. But I'm very concerned about the care of the mentally ill inside of our prisons currently.
Do they get any care? I mean, what kind of care do they get?
It's very minimal care, the care that they do get.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, they get medications, that kind of thing, some counseling?
Yes, there are programs where some of them are on medication. It's very limited in most situations as far as what medications they can be offered. So we have a lot of work to do to make it a system that is compatible and comparable to what they could get out in our community.
What percentage of the prison population do you think is really mentally ill?
I believe they say between 25 and 30%. I believe that it actually is higher than that. Mm-hmm. I think there are many who go undiagnosed or are undiagnosed after they're in the system.
Okay.
And so then they end up not getting that care that they need. And when they're in solitary confinement, you need to understand that they're only out of the cell three times a week for 10 minutes, for three showers, three 10-minute showers. And if they're fortunate, they get 1 hour out of cell in a caged yard alone. The rest of their time is all spent inside of that cell.
Just alone. Now, are you allowed to have a book in there? What's the condition inside the cell?
That is very dependent on their behavior. Mm-hmm. And if they're able to conform to the standards, the problem with that is often they're not able to, and particularly if they're not on the right medication. But on top of that, the therapy that they get often may only be 10 or 15 minutes a week of somebody coming by and talking to them through their cell door. And so it's very concerning.
Tell me this, though. We're spending $2 billion. Everything you're talking about sounds like spending more, in a sense, if you're going to start really seriously treating these mentally ill inmates. How is that going to work? Where would we get the money?
I think the governor has laid it out clearly that, number one, we have far too many people that are inside of the system, that are in level ones, level twos, people who are in there, they're years past their earliest release date.
Mm-hmm.
They have not been able to get the programming. They're on long waiting lists, or else they've had the programming and the parole board has come back and said, well, now we've decided we want you to take more classes. And they're kept years beyond their earliest release date. So that right there is one way that a huge savings could be had by getting these people out, but also by getting the people out of solitary confinement and moving them into programs where they are not spending 23 to 24 hours a day in a cell alone. Yes, we may have a few, very few, who need to be in that circumstance, but there are programs where they could be gotten out in a more secure setting than just them being totally out, but getting them out into programming and giving them positive things to do. They need to be working and doing positive things whenever possible.
Right. They'll eventually get out. And what do you, now? You had, it sounds like you had a real transformation when your son was incarcerated. What when you talk to people who feel that we need to be tough on crime, we need to be safe. I know Bill Schuette, Attorney General Bill Schuette, says that is a number one priority, keeping our communities safe. What do you believe that to be the case too?
Here's my question. If we put people in prison and we lock them up and we treat them poorly and we don't give them the skills or the necessary means so that they can better themselves, are we truly safer when they come back out after years of being mistreated and of not having productive things to do? Are our communities really safer? How we treat them while they're inside determines when they come back out how they are going to re-enter our society. And we need to consider that hugely in these decisions that we're making.
Right. Before I let you go, Lois, now your son, you said is he doing okay now, or what's going on with him?
As I know and as I can tell you, any of the people who have spent a long amount of time in solitary confinement, and even many who have not, because of what they have seen and dealt with once they're inside of the system and because of the structure currently that is set up, they come out with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Does he still feel traumatized to this day?
He's able to work. Uh-huh. And I what I want to focus on is the fact that often the reason that I got into this work and the reason that I am so passionate about this is because I saw how alone and walled off families are. And that is a huge missing piece. And as I look through some of the reports that the governor has out, I'm especially on the juvenile system, I am seeing that we are not working to engage families.
Okay.
We are hugely impacted by the system, and we need to be the missing link that is included. We need to be engaged, and we need to have say in what's going on in the system.
So many people impacted by anything. You've got the families of those in prison, the families of the victims, so many aspects to it. Lois DeMont, member of Citizens for Prison Reform, also what is it, the Family Participation Program? Is that what it's called?
Yes, the Family Participation Program. We assist families in learning how to navigate through the system and helping them to become advocates for their loved ones.
All right, Lois, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, coming up next, the Export-Import Bank. Have you ever heard of it? It's been around for about 80 years now. It might disappear this summer. Very controversial issue. That's next.